knowledge of your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, one of the things that we're going to touch on, a couple of things I think are important to understand about the church, understand about who we are. Notice I'm dealing, this semester when we're dealing with Church Unusual, I'm dealing more with you as an individual, dealing more on an individual basis as opposed to an institutional basis. The church is built, is made of individuals before it is an institution. We've learned it. We join it. We come to it, we do it all institutionally, and we focus so much on the institution side of it being a Christian center or something of that nature, and we just focus on that being church, that a lot of times we just miss out on us being the church and who we are as the church, and the fact that we are the cells of the church. Just like your cells in your body. Your cells aren't working properly in your body, or your cells are unhealthy in your body, then your body won't function right. Then you'll need some kind of work, or need to change the way you're eating, or change the way it's functioning to get your cells to work right. Because if your cells are working right, then your body will work right. Right? Right? And so we are the Holy Spirit showing me that we are individually the cells of the body. We are the cells of contrary to how our body works, we are not determining what Christ looks like, but Christ should be determining what we look like. You see what I'm saying? So Jesus is healthy. He's already as healthy as it is. So now we should be taking on his image and functioning like he is within the body. If we don't deal on it, and if you ever had to deal with the church or anything of that nature, or diminishing anybody about church, if you don't deal with it on an individual basis, then you'll never make any progress because it starts one by one. Even Jesus ministered to people one by one. Yeah, there were multitudes, but you always see them small, intimate moments. The people thronging him all over the place. And this woman touched the hem of his garment, he stopped for that one woman. Jesus was trying to make a point that it's one by one, each individual matters. And so we as a church got to understand who we are as a church, how we function as a church, and what it's all about. Ephesians 4, and we've been reading it a lot, and we'll read it some more tonight because you just can't get enough of it. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Mind you, remember I told you about the chapter, so there's great things in chapter 1 and 2 and 3 and in chapter 5. So just, you know, don't in your own personal time, go ahead and read it. Well, you know what? Let's do this. Go back to chapter 3, and we'll start off at verse, flip over, and we'll start at verse 14. You know, this is second of the two Ephesians prayers. But I want to read this, so I'll go into, we get context of where we're coming from and what we're going into when we go into chapter 4. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, on whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. It's talking about us, right? That he would grant unto you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That Christ, verse 17, you read it, ready, read. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that he being rooted and grounded in love. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints. How many saints? What is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You see that verse 19? You know, we jump to verse 20. We love verse 20, don't we? Yeah, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I'm going to read it again. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So you'll be filled with all the fullness of God when you pass the knowledge by knowing the love of Christ. You saw that? You know, it's a good preaching technique. You read the scripture backwards. And it, sometimes it'll make you understand what's going on. Verse 20, and then that's our favorite. Go ahead, I'm going to let y'all read it. Ready, read. You can do it with your eyes closed, huh? Ready, read again. Ready, read. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ. Your glory in the what? Unto him be glory. Unto him glory in the church by. So it's glory in the church. So there's glory in the church by what? By Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So that's not just the finishing of the prayer. I know we read that in the last point, amen. That's not the finishing of the prayer. Unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus. So the glory does not enter into the church but by Christ Jesus. So now we can jump back up to 17. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. I'm going to keep reading. That she be rooted and grounded in what? Rooted and grounded in what? Love. Then watch this. Then, because you can almost add then, may be able. Because you're rooted and grounded in love. Now you'll be able to comprehend with all things what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled. Everybody say filled. Come on, say it again. Filled. With all the fullness of God. Now unto him. Not before that though. Not before that Christ dwell in your hearts. Not before you know the love. No, now. We want to do, I know we want exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Don't we want that? Yeah, but not, that's now, but that scripture comes after the other ones. So to me, there's something we got to grip. Before we start quoting all this, we've been quoting and quoting all our lives. We've been quoting and confessing. Now when him is able to do exceedingly, but we ain't paid attention to that Christ may dwell in my hearts richly. Or Christ may dwell in my heart by faith. Rooted and grounded in love. What does that mean to be rooted and grounded in love? Rooted and grounded. What does it mean to be rooted and grounded? Well, come on, what does it mean? Think about it for a minute. To be rooted and grounded. No. Not just to know about love. Not just to read some scripture. But you are rooted and you are grounded. You are unmovable, unshakable in love. You are rooted. I love the cedar tree. They talk about the cedar tree. I don't know if you ever heard about the cedar tree. The cedar tree is an amazing tree. They say the cedar tree, for every foot that it goes above the ground, it goes three deep. You ever heard that before? The Bible talks about the cedar. For every foot that you see above the ground, there's 3 feet of roots deeper. Sound like how we should be. Rooted and grounded. So now you got a 9-foot tree, you're talking about 27 feet of roots. That thing ain't moving. I don't care what kind of storm come. I don't care how hard the wind, it's not moving. Because it's rooted and grounded. How rooted as a church, because it's talking about church right here. How rooted and grounded are we in love? You be rooted, that Christ is dwelling in your hearts by faith. That she being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. You may be able to comprehend when you're rooted and grounded in love. What is it? With all things, with the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ passes all your other knowledge. To know the love of Christ passes all your other knowledge. To know the love of Christ, y'all, and I'm reading these scriptures because I know you are familiar with these scriptures, but we have to slow down and see what it's saying. It says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. So that means the love of Christ passes anything that you think you know. Now, I'm going to deal with that in a minute about how we deal with other people, because you may know something about other people, but what does the love of Christ know? Because it passes all your knowledge. All your knowledge, all your feelings, all you think, all the ways you think you're supposed to go, the love of Christ passes all that. His ways are higher than our ways. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness, that ye might be filled with how much of the fullness? How much of the fullness? Look at that statement. Look at it. Look at it. We're going to meditate a little bit tonight. That ye might be filled. Y'all stop reading this prayer and quoting this prayer to yourself in the morning and don't know what it's saying. Slow down. Stop trying to conquer the word. All right? Stop trying to conquer the scriptures so you can think it's done. I'll give you a key. Can I give you a key? You think your prayers and your reading making stuff happen, huh? It ain't. Uh-oh. Prayer changes things, huh? Uh-huh. You thought that you saying out your mouth made it go and you thought it made it go do something that when you're praying in the morning, you don't, no. All it's doing is opening your capacity to God more. It's opening you up to who God is. If it was praying, just your praying was making stuff happen, then a lot of stuff being changed by now. How many prayers you didn't pray? How many prayers, oh Lord, do this for me, and you didn't see it? Right, because you thought that when you pray in the Holy Ghost, it's opening up your capacity so that you see more of God, and God in you makes change. It's not of works. We can go back to Ephesians chapter 2 right now and realize that it's not a work, because if it was works, if it was what you're doing, you could boast. If it was really your prayers making it happen, then you can boast about it and say how such a great prayer you are. But that ain't it. It's God. Philippians 2 talking about it. It's God who's working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is the only thing that brings change. He's the only one that made change. She's the only one that made a difference, that made a real difference in the world. We're just duplicating what he's telling us to do. He's making the change. Are y'all getting it? So now, that you might be filled with all, I wonder what that's like. To be filled with all the fullness of God. Think about it. Say it right quick. Say it. Say it. Say it. Say it. Be filled with all the fullness. Just say, be filled with all the fullness of God. Say it. Be filled with all the fullness of God. Say that I might be filled. Go ahead. Say it. That I might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's a lot. That I might be filled with all the fullness of God. Can you imagine all the fullness of God? Can you imagine how much that is? That I'll be filled with, if I can know the love of Christ and pass my knowledge, I can be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, I'm filled with all the fullness of God. That means there's no lack, no sickness, no problem, no confusion, none of that stuff. There's no unforgiveness because I'm filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. That power is talking about that love that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Inside, yeah, that's what he's talking about. That's the power. Love is the power. Everybody say love is the power. Come on, say it again. Love is the power. Write it down. It don't sound too deep, but it's dope. Love is the power. Love is the power. You're looking for the power. Where the power? The power. Power is in love. That's the power. Power ain't no shock in your hand. The power ain't no fire in your hand. The power ain't no cloud coming in the room. The power ain't no lightning striking through your mind. The power is love. God bless all of us. You seen the cloud? Praise the Lord for your cloud. The power is in the love. It's clear that the power is in the love because 1 Corinthians 13 tells me you can sing with the tongues of angels. You can prophesy, I give your body to be burned, but have not charity. How strong is this love thing? How strong is this? That I have not that and I ain't did nothing. Hold on, how strong is this? That on this hangeth the law and all the prophets. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. No, how strong is it that on love hangeth everything? How strong is it that my faith works by? I'm determined, we're going to read a little bit more, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I'm determined this is a church problem, that they don't have a revelation of love. We don't have a revelation of love. We talk about love, we smile, we try to be nice to people. We don't have a revelation. We're not filled with all the fullness of God. Come on, think about it for a minute. Come on, think about it. Church as a whole, right? Even we are part of it though. We can think about ourselves. I'm not filled with all the fullness of God. I got my foot in it, but I don't know if I'm rooted and grounded in love. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. World without end, amen. Then we go to chapter 4. Come on, flip over chapter 4. Therefore, now you see context, where we coming from now, right? Now we know this talk about joint supply and all this stuff. I therefore, prisoner of the law, beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond and peace. There is one body, one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. What is that? I put that in my notes. I put it in my notes, and that's a good question. What is the gift of Christ? What does he mean when he said the gift of Christ? Come on, man. We're gonna meditate a little bit tonight. Yes, we're gonna talk a little bit. And we're gonna We're gonna meditate. What is the gift? Because it sounds. I was texting with a couple of young friends of mine, and I started asking them questions. And they, you know, they come back with all the great, the right lines. You know what I'm saying? You got the right lines. You know what I'm saying? What does the gift of Christ? Salvation on the inside. We come up with the right things to say. But what does that mean? What is the gift of Christ? I'm asking. I ain't got nothing in my notes. Come on. What is the gift of Christ? We're gonna meditate a little bit. What is the gift of Christ? The gift of, because verse 7, but unto every one of us, how many of us? That means all of us in here is given grace according to the measure. It's according to the measure of the gift of Christ. It's the gift of Christ. If you don't know what the gift of Christ is, you can't get a revelation of the gift of Christ, then we need to go back. We need to go back a little bit. We searching for stuff. We don't know the measure of the gift of Christ. What is the gift of Christ? Come on, I don't want you to be looking for, what's the right answer? Come on, I'm asking you. Huh? Love is the main ingredient of it. It's the gift of Christ. Now, that's good. Now, here we go. It's the main, the gift of Christ is love. Well, what does it mean? What does my faith work by? Work by Jesus. Work by, what is your faith in? Faith in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? What does it mean for your faith to be in Jesus Christ? What is that? But what does that mean? Depending on him, how? How do you depend on him? How though? But how though? How? With your heart. She said it with a question. With your heart? No, but how? I'm getting to a point, but I'm digging a little bit, because what does that mean? I know that Jesus Christ and him crucified. What does that mean? Where's the power in that? Okay. How though? Huh? You gotta love him and trust him, huh? You gotta love him and trust him. All right. You're getting somewhere now. The gift is the Holy Spirit. All right. The Holy Ghost and our faith. Now I'm gonna give two things for the Holy Ghost and our faith. All right, but I'm gonna give another two. Faith is good, but faith don't work if ain't no. All right. So there's a great scripture that we got in Romans 5:5 that says what? The love of God by what? So come on, everybody say Holy Ghost and love. Come on, say it, write it. Come on, Holy Ghost and love. Two powerful things. Holy Ghost and love. Now I'm asking how for a reason. I'm asking how for a reason because a lot of times we can be functioning. We're trying to function as a church. We're trying to function in faith, but we're not functioning right. If you're getting no results, you're not functioning right. If nothing is manifesting, then you're not functioning right. There should always be 100% constant manifestation. If it's not manifesting, then it's something that I'm not, thou does not inquire wisely concerning this. You're not asking the right question. You're not saying the right things. Maybe my faith is in the wrong thing. Maybe I say I got faith in Jesus, but I don't really know what that means. So is your faith in Jesus mean that you're going to heaven one day? You got faith that when it's all over, you're going to go to glory, right? A lot of people faith stopped up, and it's a true statement. Thank God that we're going to glory, right? But what about now? Because we're not going today. So how's my faith in Jesus right now? I know you're going to give me the key words. I got the key words. But how is my faith? How? All right, y'all, I love this. How is my faith in Jesus right now? What does that mean? We should be ruling this life. I'm about to ask some things out for you. We should be ruling and reigning in this life, all right? We got dominion over serpents and over all the stuff that we're going to say, all right? We got a right to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, right? We all those things that Jesus did, we got a right to do it, right? But how? Good one. Just do it in love. I know. Everybody throwing the love. But how? You touched on a little bit in the last scripture you said, but we're gonna go to it in a minute. Because if you do not get a revelation of this, you don't have a revelation of anything else. You can pray and give your body to be burned. Huh? You ever prayed a long time and ain't nothing happen? You sweat and prayed till you was hoarse, but ain't nothing happen. You didn't feel no spirit, because you was praying the wrong way. You're reading that word and read it till your eyes start hurting. But ain't nothing happened. You still got that problem when you look back. Huh? I'm going to show you one of the greatest miracles. We think all the greatest miracles. Oh, it was the greatest miracle. You think somebody rise from the dead. I know. I'm going to lay hands on them, open their blind eyes. Mm-mm. That's exciting. I ain't the greatest, though. They can get up out of the wheelchair. That's exciting. Woo, and praise God for that, because, you know, some people need to get up out of the wheelchair, but that's the easy stuff. That's the easy stuff. Y'all forgive me for laughing. Ephesians 4. Everyone is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he said, if my faith is in Christ, and my faith is in that I may know him, huh? In the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, right? That I may know, being made conformable unto his death, right? That I may know him, right? How do I know him? Good question. What does that mean to know him? All right. I'm going to give you a key. You ready? What's John 3:16 saying? All right, for God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. All right. Over in 1 John 4, it starts talking about that it's not because we love God, because he first loved us. Then he starts talking about the process of how he loved us. All right. We start talking about the process. Then he's talking about how he sent his only son to be a propitiation for our sins and to be atonement, to pay atonement. But that was showing how he loved us. You cannot know Christ without knowing the love behind Christ. Because the love behind Christ was the blood inside of it all. It's the meat inside of it all. If you take out the love, then it's just another person dying. If you take out the love, then there's no power there. Do y'all understand that? So now you're talking about my faith is in Christ Jesus. How if you don't know revelation of love? How if you have not gotten a revelation? And I just said the scripture, but I'm gonna make it a little deeper. How? We don't even have the gift of Christ, and we don't know what the gift of Christ is. The gift of Christ is not just you prayed the prayer, and now Jesus is living in your heart, right? Right? What does that mean? What is he in there for? Why is he in there? What is he in there for? What's the point? Well, how did he act? How did he act? Come on. Let's go. Come on. We studying now. How did he act? So we can act like, I want to be like, what would Jesus do? Well, what would he do? What was his motivation? Uh-huh. How did he do that? He raised people from the dead, huh? Yeah, I read today about him calling Lazarus. He told Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus got up and he had the stuff on his face. He said, loose him and let him go. I saw that. It was power, right? How he did that? How was he able to do what he did? How was Jesus able to do everything that he did? Remember a couple weeks back we said, all right, that's a good point. I'm a good segue. Remember a couple weeks back we said, Jesus is the head of the church. Right? Remember that? So that means his physical life in the flesh was showing us what church looked like. Right? So how did he do all those things that he did? You say the anointing, huh? Huh? Because of his father, right? Yeah, who is his father, though? And who is he? Huh? God is love. See, we got to trail this stuff back. We got to trail this stuff back. You start talking G-O-D, you start talking J-E-S-U-S, but you don't know L-O-V-E. That's the power behind it. God is the power, but God is love. The Bible says God is love. It's talking about love is of God, and he says God, we're going to read the 1 John 4 in a minute. But if you don't get a revelation of that, you don't have a revelation of Jesus Christ and him crucified. If you don't get that, and we're going to go, come on, because I can't. 1 John 4, come on. I'm just about to start reading. So you can believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know your spirit of God, and every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. And verse 3, and every spirit that confesses not Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh, not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Whereof you have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. The Antichrist is already here. You know that, right? I'm not talking about the apocalypse and all that. Sometimes you was the Antichrist. Huh? What does anti mean? Okay, and so if you against Christ, no, not like, no, Jesus, but if you don't act like him, you're against him. I remember that soldier and with Joshua and the angel. He said, the angel of the Lord came. He said, are you for us or against us? Because there wasn't no middle man. You see what I'm saying? Either you for him or against. All right. Antichrist already here. I just make sure it ain't you. Verse 4, you of God, little children, have overcome them because. Huh? Read it. Come on, read it. Come on. Verse 4, ready, read. What does that mean? We're going to read it in a minute, but I just want to stop and ask. We've been quoting these scriptures for years. What does it mean that greater is he on the inside of you than he is in the world? Let's get past your confession now. What does it mean? How does that apply? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Why? How? What does that mean? Okay, but he can be in there and you ain't got him activated. Come on. I'm clicking on these things. I'm asking a bunch of questions, and a lot of these answers are good, but I'm asking a bunch of questions because I need us. One of the things I want to do too is, and the church has to do as a whole, is get past. I texted two young guys today, and the good guys finished middle school years back, everything, and they gave me every other phrase that was the right church thing to say. And I said, but why? I said, where's the power? I said, you just quoted me some scriptures. Where's the power? You just told me what we were supposed to say. We do that a lot, don't we? We say what we're supposed to say. You know, we say what we're supposed to say. Say it the way that the church people say it. Blessing, highly favored, amen, all those different things. We say it the way it's supposed to be said, and there's no power. How I know there ain't no power? You can't tell me ain't no power. I don't see no results. No power. Right? So now you got to break yourself. This little side journey. You got to break yourself from your Christian colloquials. Your Christian catchphrases. Because if you stick with them, search the scripture, in them you think you have life, but they testify of me. But you won't come past them to me. So you stop there, and what your mind and your ego will do, this is tricky, man, and the enemy will use this. What your mind and your ego will do will make you think you know something. And so you sit there, because I memorized the whole fourth chapter of Ephesians. And you ain't saying it like that, but it's real tricky. You got to always be knowing. Always trying to be no more. Always trying to ever increase, always never coming to the knowledge. Always trying to get more in your head. Almost trying to get more in your heart. You always got to be trying to learn more. You can never be that. So we got to get past these phrases. Catchphrases. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We've been quoting that for how long? How many years have we been quoting that scripture? Huh? How many years? Mm-hmm. We have overcome them. Them who? All right. They that are of the world, they are of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So now if I don't loveth, I don't knoweth, and I'm not born of. Oh, but you're born again, ain't you? Are you born again or ain't you born again? Are you born of God or ain't you born of God? Are you anti-Christ or are you Christian? You know, your salvation wasn't your born-again day, the day you got saved, right? You know, your salvation is not a moment. Did you know that? You know, your salvation it's not a moment, it's a lifestyle. You know, God doesn't deal with timeline, he deals with eternity. You know that, right? So it's an everyday thing. I'm getting saved again in the morning, if you get what I'm saying. It's a constant flow of salvation. Right? You never get there. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not a moment. It's not just a moment. If you thought it was just a moment, then that's why you're losing. It's constant flow. He daily loads us with benefits. Work out your own salvation. The scriptures. Uh, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So that means I got to love to be born of God. If I'm born of God, I should be loving, right? If I'm really born of God, I should be loving like God, right? Come on now, y'all. We don't want to talk to me now. If I'm really born again, if I'm really born of God, I should be loving like God. And knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not. For God is love. So if you don't know love, you don't know God. Mm-hmm. In this was manifested. I love that word manifested. Manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent. Now here we go. This is manifested love. You ready? This is the manifested love. Manifested. What does it mean for something to be manifested? Come on. It shows up. It's out here. Like you can see it. Here's how I showed you. Here's how I showed you. Here's how it went from talk to real life. Here's how it went from a cool little phrase to it's up in your face. Right? In this was manifested love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live, how? Through him. Herein is love. So here is love. Here's love right here. Not that we love God, but that what? And it goes on to say, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. But let's jump back to verse 10. Herein is love. This is, so it says herein, we don't use that word right now in 2014. But what it's saying is this is love. Here is love. Herein. All right, that's good too. Herein is love. All right, read it. Verse 10, read it. Ready, read.
Herein is love.
Not that we love God. Stop. So herein is love. Not that we love him. That's tough. Let's stop the sentence right there and think about that for a minute. Let's meditate on that. Herein is love. But it says not that you love God. Herein is love. Not that we love God. Herein is love. Not that we love God. Uh-oh. But that what? He loved us. So now, listen, where has our faith been at? Where's our faith? Faith in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Uh-oh. Where's our faith working by love? What does that mean? Where's my faith been at? A little later on, we're going to read. I don't know how much time I got, Brian. All right. We're going to read in a couple minutes. They say perfect love casts out fear. So faith is not the answer to fear. We think that faith, obviously the faith is fear. Faith is that. No. Faith is not that. Perfect love cast out fear. So where's my faith? Where's my faith supposed to come from? How is my faith working by love? What does that mean? That my faith works by love. What does that mean? That my faith works by love. What does that mean? It is not. Herein is love. Not that we love God. How many of y'all love God? Thank goodness for that. But it's not because of that. But we thought it was. Come on. You prayed, you read, because you thought you were trying to show God that you loved him. Wasn't you? So he don't know where your heart at already? You think you got something that you can do to impress God? Because if so, you could have got saved by yourself. That's why he had to send Jesus for you, because you couldn't do nothing. Come on. Are y'all with me? So it's not that we love God, but the next line says, but because he loved us. That's what my faith is in right there. My faith is not in that I'm loving him. Because it's not if it's a gift and it's not of works, right? And it's not of works, right? If it's a gift and not of works, then this same thing applies right here. So it's not what I can do. Yes, should you do something for him? Yes, you should do something. But you realize that the power is not in that. Whatever you're doing is just open you up to what he's doing. Whatever you decide to do, whatever this Bible tells you to do, study to show yourself approved. This book of law should not depart from my mouth, but thou meditate day and night. You should be like a tree. In his law does he meditate day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law, Psalm 1, does he meditate day and night. When he keeps on telling you to do these things, all these things are doing are opening you up more to God's love. How open are you to his love coming through you? How much capacity have you made open on the inside of you for the love of God to be shed abroad everywhere? How much capacity, how much have you emptied out so that he can be, he can fill you with all the fullness of him? Herein is love. Not because you love him, because he loves you. I got to do a little reading. He said, talking about sending our son, beloved God, no man seen God at any time. We love one another. God dwells in us. His love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. All right. And when y'all see something, the spirit, stop thinking of a ghost. He ain't giving you no, he's giving you his love. He's giving you who he is. You see the word spirit, you can put some love right there. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Verse 16, and we have known and believed, the love that God had towards us. We have known and believed the love that God had towards us. What's the next line? What? No, God's something like love. God kind of, he kind of love. No. It didn't say God is standing next to love. What it said? He is. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth where? In God and God in him. Verse 17, herein, that's another word, herein again. We see the herein again, huh? That's herein again. Ain't y'all see it again? Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That ain't talking about the little picture where they got everybody lined up at the gates of heaven and he's checking the people off and they got the little drop door, those who ain't make it drop through and go to hell and all that. I ain't talking about that. All right, day of judgment, y'all, we the people that put images in our mind and that ain't nowhere in the Bible. Day of judgment right now. You got judgment day every day. I heard Pastor say that yesterday in church. You got judgment day every day. Judgment, you're going to live or you're going to die. Judgment, you're going to be broke or you're going to be wealthy. Judgment, you're going to be healthy or you're going to be sick. Judgment, you're going to be confused or you're going to have some direction. Judgment, you're going to be led or you're going to be ruled. It's judgment every day. What are you being wrapped, guilty or innocent? And they're wrapping that gavel. Judgment day every day. All right. Now, so get off of judgment day. Somebody trying to tell you you're going to hell. And just stop. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. There's no fear in love. There's no, say it, there's no fear. Someone say it. There's no fear. No. It didn't say it. No, there's no fear. If there's fear, if you're fearful, you don't have a revelation. If there's fear about it, you have fear about your children, you have fear about your family, fear about your money, fear about your health, then you need to get a revelation of love, because we keep reading, there's no fear in love, but perfect love does what? Casts out fear, because fear has torment. What you fearful about? What are you fearful about? I give you one, since we talk about church unusual, church is very fearful about people that ain't like them. Church people are fearful about somebody that don't look like them. But you didn't look like them all the time neither, didn't you? Huh? You ain't look like them. I know you got some new dresses. Nah, but you didn't look like them always. We're fearful of what's different. And so now, if I'm fearful, then I can't be loving. He that feared is not made perfect in love. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. That means he that feareth cannot fulfill purpose in love. Perfection has to do with purpose. He that feareth can't fulfill purpose in love. Verse 19, we love him because he. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he lying. He that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this command we have from God, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear. If you really got a revelation of love, there'll be no fear. There'll be no fear, there'll be all faith, because faith works by love. My faith is in the love of God. My faith is in the fact. Here's where your faith should operate in. Not what you think you're doing for him, but my faith is in the fact that God loves me. Say it. Now my faith is in the, now listen, no, not another phrase. No, you got to really understand that God really loves you. So God's not going to let you go down. God really loves you, because if the greatest miracle there is that my sins can be forgiven. The greatest miracle that can be performed is forgiveness. what is greater than a man's soul being changed? What I mean, thank God for getting up from the dead. Thank God for getting up out the wheelchair. Thank God for your blood changing. Thank God for your eyes open. But to change my nature, that's the greatest miracle there is. That's the greatest miracle you can operate in. Who you haven't forgiven? Who you holding on to? That's why you're fearful. That's why you're fearful of the next thing, because you're holding on to the last thing. You hadn't forgiven that, so because you haven't forgiven that, or you haven't forgiven yourself, condemnation. Everybody say condemnation. Satan can't do it, and God don't do it. So where's the condemnation coming from? Satan can't do it. If Satan could condemn us somewhere, he'd have done it by now. And God doesn't do it. Jesus said, I don't condemn you neither. Go by your way. So there's no condemnation. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, right? No condemnation. So where's the condemnation coming from? You. The greatest thing to do is forgive. That's the greatest miracle you can perform. Forgiving. All right, gee, what Jesus say? He laid hands on and said, go and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven thee. They got on him and said, you mean to tell me you can forgive sin? He said, what's greater? I'm reading something. He said, what's greater? For me to say that your eyes be open, or that you get up out, you get up from the lame man, or that I say your sins can be forgiven? How many people you've been how many people you've been forgiving? How many people you've been allowing to be forgiven? Or have we been condemning and judging? Come on, church. Have we been condemning? I wish I could preach this to a million and 20 million people right now, the whole church right now. How many people are, this is the greatest miracle, but we're not letting that happen. So instead of bringing forgiveness, we're bringing condemnation and we're bringing judgment. So we're not performing the greatest miracle that there is. And the only way you're going to do it is by love. It is not. Remember, I got to put it in my notes. Our faith is not in the works, but in the love. It is not because we love God, but that he loves us. And the process goes in the same direction. So now, as it is unto us, it should be to others. As he first loved us, we ought to first love others. The scripture says, as he is, come on, 1 John 4. If you really, listen, if you really take 1 John 4 and really meditate it for a while, your life will change. Just take it and meditate it, just go slow. And meditate it, because it says, as he is, so are we in this world. But then he said, he first loved us. But as he is, so are we in this world. He first loved us. So as he is, so are we in this world. Because he first loved us. Everybody say he first loved us, right? So as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. He first loved us. So it should be some first loving going on. Not unforgiveness. Not condemning them because you think they don't look the part. Or because you think they're not good enough. You're not gonna get no other miracles. That's the miracle right there. But if you can't function in that one, then what's the point? It's all in the love. Just remember this. And I'll put this down. And I just said it just now, but we cannot forget how we got connected. Now that's church. Church needed it. We can't forget how we got connected. Don't forget where you come from, huh? We cannot forget how we got connected through being loved first. He found us, not the other way around. You didn't find Christ. He found you. How you gonna find somebody that knew you before you was formed in the belly? Good question, ain't it? So you couldn't. So don't forget that he's that's why I said love of God should have brought. He's trying to do the same thing for others through you. Do y'all get it? This is church. But if we don't allow ourselves to have a revelation of love, remember this. Stop having your faith in the scriptures. Your faith is in love. Huh? Faith work by love. Listen, that Bible, the other class, we took the class last, living by the book. Read the Bible, the love letter that it is. Y'all remember that? That's what it's about. Everything in there leads towards love. Everything. in that Bible is leading towards love. Everything, I'm standing on this word. Yet that word that you're standing on is standing on love. Do you get it? Not, I keep saying it. It's not, it's going to, maybe it hit home, maybe you might scream later on, I scream. Not that you love God, but that God loves you. The fact that God loves us means he will not let me fall. He will not let me lose. If he can take me with my raggedy ways, we all got them, don't we? Yes, no. And we had some, right? And we got to that day, we thought that was, but we still got some.
Yes, sir.
Right? That's why I say your salvation is an ongoing thing, right?
Yes, it is.
And even the mess ups that you make from that, he's still going to forgive you from them, just like he did the other one that you thought was so horrible. If he can do that, what else is that he can't do? So that's my faith. My faith works in that. Do you get it? My faith is not in everything else. My faith is in that. Your faith works by love. What love? Not that I love him, but that he loved me. I can only love him because he loved me. So if I thought it was about me loving him, that still go back to him loving me first anyway. You get it? How long? How long has it been over? You should have told me a minute ago. Let me go a minute over. You're going to get me in trouble. Hey, man.